The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Boker Tov. I'm scared to know what stereotype of an Israeli I fit in.
Well, we're the stereotype of the bad boys from this morning's introduction.
Were you naughty this early in the morning?
No, you've got Hilton and Adam running the show this morning. That's just a what do you call it, mischief waiting to happen.
So in other words, mayhem and naughtiness first thing in the morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see where the train actually goes off the tracks.
Okay, shall we hit it?
Let's do that. So Haley calls for a UN resolution condemning Hamas as a terrorist organization.
Yes, and this comes on the back of discussions at the United Nations Human Rights Council, where a lot of European powers actually walked out this year for once, refusing to engage in the annual Israel debate, or actually the annual Israel excoriating session. But at the Security Council meeting yesterday, US Ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, said that every ounce of what they do with regards to Israel and the Palestinians should be against Hamas. This was at a meeting that specially marks the 50th anniversary of the Six-Day War. She said that Hamas should be held responsible for not caring for the Palestinians, for not caring for the Israelis, for being determined to destroy everything in their path. And she says that once again we are having the session, and once again you will hear speeches on whether you're for Israel, against Israel, for Palestinians, against Palestinians, but the onus should be on Hamas, because Hamas are the real threat that are causing so many people harm. And we are actually gearing up to marking 10 years of Hamas rule in Gaza, and the situation right now for ordinary Gazans, and it actually does break my heart, is extremely dire. And it's very easy for the world at large to just lump blame on top of Israel, but the reality is that Hamas have enough money in aid to pay their massive electricity bill, to provide electricity for their people, and they receive tons and tons of humanitarian aid daily, most of which they keep for themselves, and whatever leftovers are available, they kind of distribute between their civilians. And of course, as a civilian living in the Gaza Strip, you dare not speak out against Hamas, if you do not want to find yourself in a torture chamber or killed.
And, you know, speaking of that, I mean, there's also this heightened tension at the moment between Fatah and Hamas, with Mahmoud Abbas actually calling for Hamas to be disbanded a couple of days ago.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. They have too much support in the street, but it's definitely Abbas's attempt to show the strength of Fatah. It's definitely saber rattling from Abbas's side. Look, I agree with him. I think that if we had a world where there was no Hamas, the world would be a better place. However, the reality on the ground is that you are dealing with factional entities. And the big worry is, if you disband Hamas in an area like the Gaza Strip, if you disband Hamas in an area like the Gaza Strip, you create a vacuum for untold evils like the Islamic State to come in. And I also want to mention that Nikki Haley also condemned Friday's terror attack in Jerusalem, in which border guard Hadass Malka was murdered. And she was actually joined in that condemnation by the United Kingdom, France, the Ukraine, and Japan.
Wow, it seems like things are definitely changing at the UN at the moment.
I think things are, and I think that Trump's statement that he will withdraw the United States if this gross kind of bias against Israel continues, and I think they are paying great attention to that.
Okay, and then moving on a bit, there was this explosion at the Brussels train station that's being treated as a terror attack. Now, I found a lot of the reports on this story a little bit confusing, Ro. He blew up a bag, but he had a belt. What's going on there?
Well, from what I got from news sources in Brussels is that he actually blew himself up. He went down into the train station. He blew himself up. He shouted Allahu Akbar, much to the absolute fear and terror of many, many tourists and, of course, citizens of Brussels who were in the train station at the time. And this is being treated as yet another terror attack. Very, very frightening, because I think there's hardly a day that is going by where we are not hearing one terror attack after the other, after the other, after the other. This time in Belgium, which is no stranger to terror attacks. We had the terror attacks on the airport last year, as well as train stations, and this a horrible sense of deja vu.
Yeah, you know, just looking at all the terrorist attacks that we've been having lately, you know, it is the month of Ramadan, and generally speaking, there is usually heightened terrorist activity during this month. You don't think that the European authorities haven't put the correct security safeguards in place looking at that?
You know what? I think that at the moment, European authorities are so loath to be seen as intolerant or not supporting multiculturalism or offending anybody in any way. And I still don't think that they are actually understanding the veracity of what they are dealing with. You know, we're not lumping entire population groups under one label, but there are elements within all groups. And we saw it in the UK the other day with a car ramming by somebody who was not Muslim, Darren Osborne, who has been arrested. And I think we are going to see a rise both in the radical Islamic element and also the rise in the radical right-wing element. And, you know, every time the other attacks, it emboldens the other, if that makes any kind of sense to you, because mm-hmm. they use it as means of retaliation.
Yes. No, definitely. You know, but I don't think that... Or rather, let me rephrase that. You know, after September 11th, they put wide-ranging security measures in all airports. I think it's now come to the stage where we need to put those security measures at all places of public gatherings, at your train stations, your bus stations, your malls, pretty much like they do in Israel, where they've got...
I was just about to say, where we have these very, very stringent security measures in place.
You know, where everyone has to go through it, not just one portion of the... of the public. I don't think that that's not PC. I think we just need to protect ourselves.
It's reality. We are at war.
We are at war, and I don't think that they are understanding yet just exactly who they're dealing with. I think there may be elements within the security establishment who do, but I don't think the greater public or other leadership do. We would have. There is no way we would have seen an Al-Quds march with a terror organization like Hezbollah being openly feted like we saw in London if they understood exactly who they're dealing with.
I agree.
And you know,
yeah.
And I think that, you know, people are very quick to judge Israel, but yes, we do racially profile. Yes, we watch people not just based on the color of their skin or what their name is, but also by their actions.
No, absolutely. Look,
We do profile people. We do have stringent security measures in place. We do neutralize terrorists when they portend to carry out terror attacks. Like yesterday with a potential stabbing of our soldiers, the guy took out a knife, he ran for our soldiers, he was immediately neutralized.
And that's the way it should be. We're not attacking them, we're defending ourselves when we are attacked. And that's the way that every society should be working.
Unfortunately, it's going to have to get to that stage. Again, yesterday in Paris, somebody drove a van into the police. He was armed. The van, the car exploded. It's insanity.
It really is. But speaking about a little bit of what seems to be a little bit of payback on the other side of the war, the US has claimed to have killed an IS cleric in an air attack.
Yes. So yesterday we heard that there was a drone strike in Syria, and more details are being put out to the public. We do know that they struck IS targets. We do know that Ali Albina, who is a cleric who was actually a master recruiter, was killed. We do know that it's a major coup for the United States in the war against the Islamic State. And I think that they are actually sending a very, very serious message now that, you know, when we said we're going to bring the war to you, we're bringing the war to you.
And that's what you have to do, because before you can beat the ideology, you need to beat the foot soldiers.
Exactly, exactly. We're dealing with a situation today where it's a multi-pronged war. You have to deal with the foot soldiers. You have to deal with the ideology. You have to deal with the recruiting. And that is where social media comes into play very, very effectively. So you have to really fight this war on absolutely every front that you can.
Without a doubt. And moving a little bit away from war and over to what I'm hoping is going to be closer to peace, Netanyahu meets with Greenblatt.
Yes, so Prime Minister Netanyahu met with the U.S. peace envoy to the Middle East, Jason Greenblatt, yesterday. Jason Greenblatt will be joined by Jared Kushner later today. We don't know what Netanyahu and Greenblatt spoke about because nothing has been released from their meeting. It could be that they are waiting for Jared Kushner to arrive and they will release more and more information there. But we're not expecting any major announcements, but it is a good start because Trump has often referred to a potential Israeli-Palestinian peace deal as the ultimate deal. And we do know the guy likes to make a deal.
We do, but you don't think that he might change his tack a bit now that he's seen how Abbas has lied to him and continues to do so?
Well, I think he's going to have to change his tack a bit. I think he has to realize that you're in a very, very nuanced, very, very we're not black or white or even a gray area here. We're neon colors and stripes and stars and all kinds of interesting components. And I think it was a big wake-up call when he came to the region, when he saw exactly what he was dealing with. And he has said that concessions are going to have to be made on both sides. But we also know, and I think Trump got a very, very rude wake-up call, that Abbas says one thing to President Trump and one thing at White House press briefings and another to his constituency.
Yes, well, he's known to... His media is known to have different messages in English and in Arabic, depending on who he's talking to.
Well, and we know he speaks with a forked tongue, as we say here in the region.
Absolutely. Ro, thank you so much for that in-depth report. I look forward to hearing more from you later today on your Afternoon with Howard Feldman show. And thanks very much.
Well, I'm looking forward to speaking to you later. And if anybody's on social media or on the internet, check out Howard's brilliant op-ed piece for Israel Link. It's called, and I will tell you in 1 second, it is called, haven't had my second cup of coffee yet.
Hilton's going to give you a da-da-da-da.
It's called In Search of a Name, and it's on israellink.co.za under the News and Views section. A very, very good piece from Howard.
It really is a fascinating piece. Thank you again, Ro.